Now. Wayne Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading Lane Mitchell Show podcast number 49. If you're just downloading this for the first time, hey, be sure to rate the podcast as well on iTunes, something you can do. Let me know what you like, what you don't like. We've got music interviews and stuff and highlights from the show, which you might hear weekdays 3 to 7 on Sonic 1029. This week in the podcast, I will share with you the worst movie I have ever seen in my entire life. We'll talk about the furniture store that doubles as a place where you can take a date. And we're joined by special guest Melissa Oftemar, formerly of the band Smashing Pumpkins and Hole. She joined us for a friendly chit-chat and an acoustic performance about 5 or 6 weeks ago. It's Lane Mitchell Show podcast number 49.
Lane Mitchell podcast from Sonic1029.com.
I guess you just got charged with domestic violence. Gary Coleman.
What did he do?
Let me ask you something. Why are you laughing?
Well, he's not a very threatening guy.
I was laughing about it when I read the story, and I'm kind of going, what's domestic violence? It's nothing to laugh about. But as much as it's a serious issue, I think that all of us sort of deep down inside, we have a rule where the smaller the offender is, the harder it is to take the situation seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like Gary Coleman, I have to look up his height. He is 4'8".
Way taller than I thought, actually.
Yeah, same here, actually. I was like, oh, geez, 4 foot. He's over 4 feet. I'm like, okay, this is still bad. This is still bad. But you may remember about a year ago, Vern Troyer, mini-me, he faced domestic violence charges. And he's 2'8".
Yeah, see, that's hilarious.
Well, I almost wonder, like, what is the cutoff? Like, can we say anything under any domestic violence that occurs at the hands of someone under 3 feet tall? Can we say that's funny?
I don't know. I'm going to stay out of that one, I think.
Well, like, I feel like we need to draw a line because, you know, you laughed at it. I laughed at it. And at the same time, you know, I feel guilty for laughing at it. It's almost like we have to agree on a differential. Because what if I were to tell you she was 7'2"? You know? See, that changes everything.
Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
My name's Lane Mitchell, and my wife and I, we rented Gamer on the weekend. Gamer. That's that one with Gerard Butler. Yeah, went into the video store and, you know, we were both tired, didn't really care what we rented. You know, sometimes you rent a movie to see a movie, and then other times you rent a movie just to, you know, sort of sit back and relax. Now, we were doing the latter. We really didn't care what we were going to rent, and, you know, that's always when customer service just seems to be at its absolute best. You know, you walk in there and you just kind of want to stare at the shelf for a couple of minutes and, you know, there's two people that are on you, you know, they're both firing off titles and directors and actor names and, you know, pretty soon you don't even care. You will rent every single movie in the store if you have to just to get out of there. We ended up renting The Gamer. That was the one they suggested. Number one movie rental this week. So we're going, well, how bad can it be? I mean, it is about video games, which, you know, neither I nor my wife are particularly fond of, but it was the number one movie. Like, how can you go wrong? It's number one. It was about 5 minutes of storyline punctuated with these 30-minute action sequences. And the action wasn't, like, interesting or purposeful. It didn't really advance the plot. It was just sort of gory violence. It was almost like watching someone else play a video game. Now, if you aren't big into video games to begin with, you can only imagine how scintillating it is to watch someone else play video games for an hour and a half. It's like watching someone else surf the internet. Boring! The Gamer. Yeah, if I had a third thumb, it would be 3 thumbs down.
The Lane Mitchell Show. Lane Mitchell. Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
I got a theory about your number one movie thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the only reason it was number one is because you got all those movie stores buying 50,000 copies of the movie so that people can rent them. And it forces it to be number one, and it could be a crappy movie anyway.
You know, that is a good point. Like, you go to Blockbuster, you go to Rogers, and it's like they have the top 10 and they have a million copies. They never run out, and that's what most people want.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, you go in there to rent Goonies. They don't have it. Surprise, surprise. You grab something else off the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, so it does kind of artificially inflate some of those other numbers.
I think it does.
Have you seen Gamer?
No, I haven't.
Wow. What a turd. What a limp turd. It was just, it was the worst piece of crap I've ever seen.
Well, I guess I won't be watching that one.
Yeah. I don't know. You know who Gerard Butler is, right? From 300 and...
Yes.
I don't know. He's been in a few movies. There was there's another one I saw with him just the other week. Oh, The Ugly Truth.
Yes.
I think the guy has a sinus issue. It is my professional medical opinion as a radio announcer that he's got maybe adenoids or something. It's just funny because we watch these movies and you hear him breathing through his nose really loud. And I'm a loud breather, so I pay attention to that.
Maybe he has really big lungs and he's got a lot of air to push through.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just you're watching a movie with him and it's like... You know? The subwoofer kicks in and, you know, just everything starts rattling on the shelves.
All your crystals start to break.
I just wonder if anybody else notices that. Like, just, again, you know, it's one of those things you might notice if you rent two back-to-back, sort of unintentionally.
Yeah.
But Gerard Butler moves a lot of air through his nose.
I'm going to have to watch that tonight just so I can check that out.
And you know what? I will tell you, that was the most interesting part of Gamer.
It's a Sonic1029.com podcast.
Question, when did IKEA become a date place? Last I checked, it was a furniture store, but it seems every time you go in there now, you see these couples who are sort of half-assed shopping and sort of half-assed dating. You even see it in movies like 500 Days of Summer, the couple goes to IKEA for a date. Like, I think the progression maybe is, you know, you go for drinks or coffee, a second date, something more involved, maybe like a meal, you know, third date, maybe you rent a movie. But once you start getting really serious, you start trolling IKEA. It's a relationship milestone. It's like if you made it to IKEA with someone, you're starting to picture a future together. You know, if you're going to spend the rest of your life with that person, you got to know what kind of lamps they like. You know, and if you catch them picking up weird stuff like that bright purple throw rug made of artificial fur, you might end it right there in the parking lot. See, the funny thing is, though, on the other end of the spectrum, I think IKEA also breaks up a lot of couples. I don't know, my wife and I, we were putting together an IKEA shelf the other day, and I started wondering how many couples have broken up over putting together IKEA furniture. You know, you learn a lot about each other, right? Does this person meticulously follow the instructions? Or do they just start throwing pieces together all willy-nilly? Are they a control freak? Or do they just sit there staring at the Allen wrench like it's a Rubik's Cube? IKEA, that is the that's the relationship litmus test. That's what I think.
It's Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
My name's Lane Mitchell. Now, it was an exciting day in our household yesterday. We got a fax line. My wife needed one for work, and I gotta be honest, I was kind of surprised. I didn't realize anybody still used fax machines. Now, if you're under 30, let me explain. A fax is basically just like email, only they charge you long distance. Well, and it's unreliable, it takes longer, and it prints every single message, whether you like it or not. Imagine, it's like, you know, there you are on Facebook and a Farmville request comes through. And, oh, there it comes on the printer. I think most of the people still using fax machines are in industries where signatures are required. You know, like the medical industry. Which makes me a little nervous, I don't know. You know, people responsible for our health using such old technology, like they should have the latest, greatest, most space-age scanning equipment available. You know, flashing lights and all kinds of beeping, you know, so you know it's working. Yet still they're using fax machines. Who knows, they might be using carrier pigeons. But the orderlies probably just got tired of mopping the bird droppings off of the foreheads of the bedridden. Fax machines. Shocking. Apparently, I don't know. Apparently people are still using them, though. I was actually hoping we could do today's Quick Fix at 6 using the fax machine. Yeah, because we do have one here at Sonic. I'll give you the number, 437 437-5127. 437-5127. So you can fax your request to that number and then phone me to make sure I got it. I'll run down the hall and check. And then when it doesn't come in, I'll phone you back. You can resend it. And then eventually I'll end up with 14 copies. And by March, I should have your request ready to go.
The Lane Mitchell Show podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, you know what? I've got an argument in favor of fax machines. I recently started a business that I had to get a fax machine because I got to send stuff to the office in Toronto all the time. But, you know, you plug it into your regular phone line. I use my cell all the time. I don't have voicemail. And it cures your telemarketer's issue because as soon as they pick up a fax machine on your line, they take your number off the list. I haven't had any telemarketers called since about a week after I plugged the fax machine in. It just all stopped.
You know what? That is absolutely brilliant.
That's what I thought. It was just—it was kind of a realization more than an idea, right? But
you know what? Now that I think about it, too, if you ever choose to quit your job and you just want to burn that bridge, it's going to be really hard to just throw an email at your boss.
Yeah.
Whereas a large fax machine.
Oh yeah, you get that thing swinging by the cord, you know.
The Lane Mitchell Show podcast. Like what you're hearing? Check out the Gardner Andrews Show to Go podcast at sonic1029.com.
Let me ask you something. Do you watch the Weather Channel ever?
I don't know.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm the same way. My wife, on the other hand, she always watches the Weather Channel, you know, when she's setting out her clothes for the next day for work. Yeah. She wants to know what it's going to be like. But anyway, I noticed that the Weather Channel is having a contest to find its next theme song.
Okay.
Which is actually a lot harder than it sounds, because you got to think that, you know, people watching the Weather Channel, like, they got to watch for like 20 minutes, you know, sit through like the pollen report and the UV index and all that crap, just waiting for the weather.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, this is a song that is playing, you know, like that you're going to hear for like 20 minutes a day. What I figured I would do, Diane, is put together a little list of the least likely options for a new theme for the Weather Channel.
Okay.
What do you think of Sober by Tool?
Into Friday as we head into the weekend. Weather's going to be, well, relatively benign, let's say, for most of the West Coast and B.C. You can see this big system moving up from the southwest. It's been doing this for about a month or so, I suppose, now.
How about Bad Touch by the Bloodhound Gang?
There'll be intermittent showers, maybe even peaks of sunshine here and there, and not quite as windy as we've had over the past few days. So intermittent rain, a high temperature of 8 degrees, and some wind coming off the water still.
That would get annoying very fast.
I think the obvious reason that that one's not going to work, do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. They're actually referencing their competition.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's why it's not going to work. And then one final one that I'm pretty sure they're not going to end up using. One by Metallica.
Moving down through Campbell River, cloudy skies, intermittent showers again, and a high of 7 degrees. Cloudy and showery for Friday, and a high of 7. Last night, got 7 centimeters of new snow, and again, it's looking spectacular for the weekend.
Yeah, probably not.
I just can't see it. I don't know.
Go figure.
Yeah.
It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. It's Lane Mitchell Podcast.
I'm Lane Mitchell, joining us in the Sonic Music Listener Lounge, a band fronted by a woman whose resume includes 5 years as the bassist of the band Hole. She toured with Smashing Pumpkins and has since gone on to a very successful solo career. Melissa Oftemar and crew, everyone.
Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show.
Can't you see? Then my heart lies to you. I followed the waves to you, and I counted to see it through. But my heart lies to you. You'll never have me true. Please don't make amends. Feel me, see me slip again. Break my heart, the cards of fate. Seal the deal. My heart lies to you. My heart lies, my heart lies. I followed the waves to you, and I counted to me it through. But my heart lies to you. You'll never have me true. And I followed the waves to you, and I counted to see it through. But my heart lies to you. You'll never have. And my burning eyes, my heart turns wildly in his eyes. He's just a drunken gambling man, dealing with the hands of desire's weighing between my fire sighs and my burning eyes. My heart burns wildly in his eyes. He's just a drunken gambling man, hands of desire's weighing. I'm gonna shuffle his deck clean. I'm gonna shuffle his deck clean. Guitar solos. Chris is going nuts. I followed the waves to you, and I counted to see it through. But my heart lies to you. Between my fire sighs and my burning eyes, my heart burns wildly in his eyes. He's just a drunken gambling man, dealing with the hands of desire's weighing. I'm gonna shuffle his deck clean. I'm gonna shuffle his deck clean.
It's an Optimar Sonic session on Sonic 1029 and sonic1029.com. That was, of course, Followed the Waves. Melissa Optimar, we saw you on The Greatest Canadian.
Yes, you did.
A short while back.
With my vote being David Suzuki, the only one on that list that it was alive who could still save the world, as opposed to, I don't know who, I mean, I do like Tommy Douglas and all these other great Canadians, of course.
Come on, did Terry Foxnick get robbed?
Anyway, I don't know.
Are you an environmentalist yourself?
On a day-to-day practice, I mean, of course. I mean, as much as any musician can be, absolutely. Am I concerned and aware? Yes. Did I have a candlelight vigil in my small town in upstate New York last week while the Copenhagen thing was going on? Yes. I do what I can.
But you don't have, like, a bus that runs on recycled bong water or anything like that?
I wish.
You're also a published photographer. A lot of people probably don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, I started as a photographer. I thought there's no way I'm going to find myself in Edmonton playing music 15 years after I pick up the bass. So I figured I'd be a photographer. That seemed like possible.
What do you take pictures of?
Stuff around me. No, but literally, it's a kind of obsessive memory capturing. And I have been doing it since I was 13. Just a really obsessive want to. I once been asked, why do I take, you know, I would take pictures of those cords if I had my camera right now. I'm actually in between a digital analog issue with my camera world. I've always shot film. I'm trying to grow digital. I don't like it. I leave them at home. I don't charge them. I would take pictures of you right now if I had had a better relationship with my camera. And what part of what it is that if and when I die and the Earth ends and aliens want to know what it was like to be a woman in the 90s crossing into the 21st century, making music and following her heart, they would know from the evidence of my negatives.
Any chance that any of those pictures will ever surface?
Definitely. There's no question. Yeah, I've had exhibits. I've had shows. I've had, there's a book coming down the line. It's when I, yes. And the edit is kind of there. It's a matter of sort of finding the publisher in the right time. I hear the 90s are coming back any day now, so it might be a good time soon.
It's an Optimar Sonic session. The next song you're going to play for us is called 22 Below. What should we know about that song?
It's off the new record. And it's about Alberta. It's about Canada, basically. I mean, how could it not be? And it's about cosmic eggs in the sky and stuff like that. But it's a new song. I like it very much.
Wayne Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Many years ago, as a little girl, I saw a bright light in the darkest night. 22 below, 7 feet of snow, bundled up, determined to make it there for certain. The futile search of man cuts across the land. Bloody ships assail, we hide behind the veil. A greedy golden hand swallowed by the sand. Thy kingdom comes no more, we're looking for the core. Digging down, determined to get us there for certain. The center of the earth, the heart of the universe. Fire deep inside, spinning us through time. The heart of the matter, I hear it getting louder. Thank you. imagine loud guitars having played that live in Edmonton tonight.
Aftermar here in the Sonic Music Listener Lounge. That was 22 Below from the new album, Out of Our Minds. I have to ask you, okay, you played in a band with Billy Corgan. You played in a band with Courtney Love. You know where this is going. Yes. How is it that you managed to survive?
survive what?
Being in bands with two of the most notoriously difficult people in modern rock.
I mean, literally, it's called good upbringing, good parents. I love life. I do not take anything for granted. Music opened its doors to me. Those people, Billy and Courtney, are like my fairy godmother and father. They gave me this opportunity. I love them. Love them then. I mean, they are very, very important people. I also grew up in a world where I believe in complications and things are not easy. I mean, my family moved from. I've been around. I like people who are complicated versus not, honestly. And I just think it was that I enjoy practicing compassion, understanding, and all these things. I didn't have to go to church or rehab to explain practicing compassion, which a lot of people have to go train themselves to accept the negatives in people and blah. It's a natural given to me that life is not easy, but it's beautiful and people are wonderful no matter how weird or tyrant-like they may seem. I love those two. I mean, they're freaks, and I love them. And they, I mean, there was factors such as drugs and sadness and death that possibly could have made it hard. It was. But, I mean, I don't know. I survived because I'm Canadian, and I was brought up well, okay?
Well, I mean, Courtney Love is certainly going through a difficult time. Are you guys still tight now, or...?
We actually have reconnected this year. It was like a real solid decade of silence, very polite silence, no problems, like love, I'm here for you if you need to. But yeah, we haven't, and I saw her this year for the first time in a long time, and she actually is kind of more lovable and loving than ever in many ways, I have to say, and I don't know what's going on. I read about something on the internet. Seems very difficult and terrible. I don't know.
Custody battles.
Yeah. I mean, but Frances is a grown-up person at this point, and I moved out at 17 or 18. You can do whatever you need to do to find your own way, I guess, at that point.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming in. Off tomorrow here in the Sonic Music Listener Lounge. You guys are going to wrap up with the title track of your new album, Out of My Mind.
Out of Our Minds. And it's a call to, you know what, travel out of your minds, because it will only make the world a better place. And we're playing tonight, right? Oh, but this is played other recording-wise now and later. Okay, well, the point is that for those listening, we are going to be... happy to... this is our first radio session for the first wave of this record, and it's also... our first shows in Canada for this record. So thanks for having us in the early stages.
Off tomorrow, everybody.
The Lane Mitchell Show. It's Lane Mitchell. Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Listening, come in. If there's a fire, I need a desire. Are you willing and able to set the stakes higher? This time, pass it on and come sit by my fire. Come sit by my fire. Come sit by my fire. travel out of our minds and into our hearts, standing by. Travel out of our minds and into our hearts. Our hearts been standing by so long. Yes, you're listening, you're a dreamer, so come in, 'cause we have the tiny scales to swim. Travel out of our minds and into our hearts, standing by. Travel out of our minds and into our hearts. Our hearts been standing by so long. So long. Where has love gone in our behavior? Where has the light gone in those? Where has the love gone in our behavior? Where has the light gone in those faces? You're a dreamer, come sit by my fire. Yes, you're listening, you're a dreamer, come sit by my fire. Travel out of our minds and into our hearts. Our hearts been standing by. Travel out of our minds and into our hearts. Our hearts been standing by for so long. So long. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Off tomorrow, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Sonic. It's Lane Mitchell. Podcast. Want to hear more like it? Check out the Garner Andrews Show daily podcast and more at sonic1029.com.